I was doing my very first television show in Toronto, Canada. I had an award-winning producer, director, and he's a Jewish guy that believes in Jesus, believes in the power of God. And I said, let's go to the Toronto Airport Church. And he said, I don't want to go there. I don't know about that power. Well, he went kicking and screaming, and it revolutionized his life. And the power that comes from this man, the presence of the living God, gonna knock you off your seat. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter here with Warren Marcus. And that is the most amazing thing. When we first started It's Supernatural Television, Warren was on my board of directors, and he knows everything about television. He did really terrific in New York City, and then you worked Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson, and you had these award-winning things. And so you're used to everything, mishigas, craziness. So why wouldn't you go with me to the Toronto Airport Church in Toronto, Canada?
Well, you kept saying, Warren, the power of God is there. Don't you want more of God? And I think at that time, I sort of became conformed to a lukewarm church. I didn't realize. When I first got saved, when I first gave my heart to Jesus, I was a radical. I mean, I told everybody about Jesus. You know, when we Jewish people find the truth, we don't hide it. We tell everybody. But over a period of time, you're talking about years, I didn't realize it, but I came conformed to a form of godliness, but it's denying the power thereof, which is the accusation of what our people, the Jewish people, had when Jesus came. They didn't recognize that they were so caught in a form of godliness, they didn't understand the power, and yet it was the ones that were hurting, you know? And I didn't realize how much it was hurting. I didn't realize how far I grew away from that one-on-one relationship with God. I thought I knew God.
You know, it's insidious. It's just little by little, you lose your original first love.
Yeah.
You lose your original passion. And there are people that are watching us right now, and you're saying, that's me. Mm. But let me tell you what happened to one. Matter of fact, tell me what happened to your daughter.
Well, my daughter had been rebelling. I had sent her to the best Christian schools, and I tried to teach her the things of the Lord. And she got to that age, you know, 13 years old, 14 years old, she started rebelling. And I didn't realize she was using marijuana, various things. She was going to a Christian school. And then she was really hard to reach. Well, I brought her to Toronto, and this was like a last ditch. I said, God, if this is really you, I want to see. Maybe you could help my daughter, you know? And so she went and went on the prayer line. She didn't understand anything about the power of God moving. She was going to a Baptist type school, and one touch, she fell on the ground. She wanted to be an actress in Hollywood. I was fearing that. I said, oh gosh, it's going to be my life all over with the drugs and all this stuff. She was on the floor, and she just started weeping and crying out to God, oh God. And I'm going, uh-oh, this is over the top. What's going to happen? When she got up off the ground after like an hour and a half, 2 hours on the floor, right? She got up and she said, Dad, I don't want to be an actress in Hollywood anymore. I want to be a missionary. And it changed her life.
So what happened to her?
Oh, in an instant, she was changed. Her heart was turned toward God.
But today, what is she?
Oh, today, she's a mom and stuff, but she loves the Lord. I mean, she's serving God. So, I mean, she's on fire for God. She prays with people.
It was almost like there was two paths. There was the path you took, drugs, show business, etc., and then the path of godliness.
Yes.
And you, if she hadn't had that power encounter.
Oh, I fear what she would have turned out to be. I mean, I could just see her on drugs and all kinds of stuff. She's married now, she has a husband on fire.
Your wife loved the Lord.
Yes.
But she wasn't really on fire for God. What happened to your wife?
Well, you have to understand, she was also brought up in a form. She was a Catholic, she was brought up in the Catholic Church. When I found Jesus, I started, Donna, you know who Jesus is? He's the Messiah. And she looked at me, what are you talking about, you know?
Listen, she married a nice Jewish guy. What are you coming home saying Jesus is the Messiah?
I know, it's crazy, isn't it? She should have been telling me about Jesus.
Yeah, right.
And then, you know, she came.
Listen, to this day, my parents blame my wife. But they think she's the one that told me about Jesus. She was a backslidden Southern Baptist that converted to Orthodox Judaism because I insisted upon it and became an agnostic in high school, in college. And so they thought she led me to the Lord. The truth of the matter is we Jews get so fanatic over Jesus once some Christian somewhere, somehow, has compassion for us and tell us about Jesus that I'm the one that led her to the Lord.
That's right. So Donna, you know, I was always pushing. She was always kind of coming back. But when she finally went to Toronto with me, she had an experience with the Lord. She just started weeping. You know, she tried to leave. Matter of fact, I remember this one time we went up there and there was revival services going on. And she said, and she was touched during the service. But the next day she says, I don't want to go there. I want to go shopping in Toronto. Are you coming with me? And I said, no, I came here for more of God. Donna, if you want to go, fine. You go shopping. Take my son Joseph, go shopping. Well, I went and I was like, at this point, we're saying, God, you got to do something. You got to do something for Donna. She really needs you, Lord. Just help her in some way. And so I wound up just praying, and I looked up, and there was Donna, and she goes like this to me, and she looks at me and waves at me. I said, she's back there, you know? And I said, what happened? She goes, I couldn't get out of here. I kept feeling this thing. I had to come to get prayer. She says, and I just had to come to get prayer because something God wants to do in my life. And the pastor came over, started praying for people, came over to Donna, prayed for her, and God just touched her, and she started weeping. And it was a turnaround right in that moment for Donna, for a more passion for God, for desiring Him more in our lives. And it changed her life. And she even said, you know, Warren, what do you want to do? You know, I'll support you in whatever you want to do. You know, if you want to be a pastor or you want to be a preacher.
She went from a lukewarm to a fanatic. Exactly. But you know what? What we call fanatic, that's normal. It's time for you to get normal. I have to tell you the truth. Jesus said, I'd rather you be hot or cold, but if you're lukewarm, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. We're going to pray for you to be red hot. Don't go away. Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter here with Warren Marcus. And when I was a young man, didn't know anything about the ways of God. Coming from a traditional Jewish background, I wrote a song, and the title of the song was, There Must Be Something More. I remember the words to this day, stupid song. There must be something more because I work, eat, sleep, and that's the way it goes. Kind of a rap song. There must be something more because I work, eat, sleep, and that's the way it goes. Maybe I should add, I work, eat, sleep, and watch TV, and that's the way it goes. There must! You know, an artist, it's a passion. When we create, it's part of us. And I was crying out, there must be something more. But do you know, for the first 30 years of my life in Christian America, going to a Christian university, surrounded with, quote, Christians, not one person told me about Jesus for the first 29 years of my life. But Warren, I had an experience with the Lord, as you had an experience coming from a Jewish background with the Lord, but my song never changed. Yes, my sins were forgiven. Yes, I'm going to heaven. But I read the Bible, and I see the church, and I'm not going to settle for anything short of that.
Yes.
What's going on inside of people today? I believe there are more good Christians outside of the church today than in the church. And I'm not saying that's good, but they're just plain bored. Why is this going on?
Well, you're seeing that. You know, I read some statistics from California, the state of California, that 70% of those who claim to be born again Christians aren't even going to church anymore. Mm. And that's a staggering figure. And I believe it's because there is that form. What we do is we formalize everything. We as mankind tend to want to formalize. Like being born again, what does that mean? It means inviting Jesus into our hearts to become our Lord and Savior, but to become our friend, someone we talk to every day, someone we trust in. It's not like we're walking alone and we're alone. We have a partner. And he said, you know, we're yoked to him. We're like two oxen. We're walking with him and getting to know him better, falling more in love with him every day. That's what we're supposed to do. But we reduced it to this little prayer that said, I often say it's like the fast food type thing we have in America. You know, it might be the Church of Kentucky Fried Chicken that you said this prayer in, or it might be the Church of McDonald's. And it goes like this, Jesus, I want you to come into my heart, but hold the lettuce. I don't like the relish. You know, just put some mustard on there.
God, on my terms.
On my terms. And when you say the prayer, really, it's supposed to be, God, come into my life, change my life. I'm changing course. I'm going with you. Wherever you take me, this could be the most exciting journey you know, that we can make. But what we do is we formalize it. And so now we said the prayer and it's all over. But I look at it now this way. I say, man, I want to be born again every day into the new glory, the new level that God has for me. So I'm saying, God, forget yesterday. That old manna stinks. You know, they had that manna in the wilderness.
It only lasted a day.
Yeah, only take what you need today, because tomorrow it's going to stink. It's no good. And I said, I don't want what I had yesterday. I want more of you today. That thing of more is a very important thing in my life. And I say, and this is what Christians, you're saying, what are Christians saying? I think they're saying, I want more. I don't want the same old, same old. I want to have the journey. I'm reading in the Bible, people say, of the life that Jesus had and the apostles had, Paul, you know. And they're saying it was a challenge. It was a journey. Every day there was a new experience of what God was doing. It was the kingdom of God being seen on this earth. And that's what's happened. So they say, wait a minute, this kingdom of God is not on earth. It's not happening in a building. But I want this, and I know it's there. And they're crying out. I believe there are people watching this program today saying, I'm crying, God, there's got to be more. And there's people that gave their hearts to Jesus at one time and saying, there's got to be more. There's got to be something.
I believe we're in a time of preparation right now for the greatest outpouring in the history of planet Earth.
Yes.
And here's my spin on it, if you will, from 30 years of studying the Bible. I believe God has given me prophetic insight as to what's going to happen next. Right now, we have a move of revival at various congregations throughout the United States and various home groups where people are really yielding to the Spirit of God. But what are they yielding for? Yes, greater intimacy with God, but for a purpose. It's going to be no more superstars. It's going to be no more one-man shows. It's going to be what the Bible says, every man, every woman, a worker. And here's how I see it happening. I've called this, as you know, Warren, the one new man, coming from Ephesians, the second chapter, in which Paul says Jesus came, and there's the purpose. He came to break down a middle wall of separation between Jews and Gentiles. So something, the Gentile has something the Jew needs, the Jew has something the Gentile needs, and when the two come together, it creates something that never existed before. It was almost like God took Adam, a rib out of Adam, and made Eve. But that rib was one. Adam and Eve were one. Jew and Gentile, when they become one, there'll be a power explosion in the church. So the church is about ready to get equipped for the supernatural of God for a purpose, not just for the sake of the supernatural, to reach the Jew. Why? Because when a Christian follows God's strategy of evangelism, to go to the Jew first, that's what Paul said. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first. That was his strategy. Even though he was apostle to Gentiles, he always went to the Jew first. He knew if it was a blessing, the Jewish people reject their Messiah. Watch what the greater blessing is. When they receive their Messiah, it'll cause life. I see it, an explosion. It's called the one new man. And you are going to be part of it. I'm going to be part of it. Warren's going to be part of it. We're going to get the job done. And no more same old, same old. Don't go away unless you like same old, same old. Be right back. Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter here with Warren Marcus. Both of us are Jewish men that are red hot for Jesus. Now, we've been talking about the next, the greatest, and I believe the last move of God's Spirit. But the whole issue right now is we are being wooed, if you will, by God for a great Jewish wedding. It's called the Wedding Supper of the Lamb. And if you don't have intimacy with the person you're going to marry, you're not going to have much of a marriage. Isn't the same thing true with God? Isn't that what God's doing for us, Warren?
Oh, definitely. And that's the whole thing. When we came in, we understood it good. When we came in and made that first step in, we understood it. Then it was like throw away the experience, and now let's go back to head knowledge. But it's not about that. The Bible is a book of experiences.
Humans,
and that's what he wants us to do.
Humans love to do things the same way so they don't have to think. I mean, I can go into most churches in America and tell you what will happen on a Sunday morning. But God's about ready to shake everything up. See, I believe the first church was so different from, you know, did you ever play the game as telephone as a kid, Warren?
No.
Well, one person whispers in your ear, you whisper in someone else's. By the time it gets to the 10th person, it's so different. There's so much tradition in Christianity. Yeah. There's so much tradition in Judaism.
Yes.
I say, let's get rid of the tradition from Judaism. Let's get rid of the tradition from Christianity. Let the prayer of Jesus happen, that Jesus said, I pray that they might be one, Jews and Gentiles, so the world would believe. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that what God wants?
Exactly.
But then, that was John 17, 21. The very next verse says, the same glory that is on Jesus will be on them.
Yeah.
Somehow it's tied together. I know it. I know it. I know it. It's tied together with a Jew. I have a friend that is a genius. That's the only way to describe it. And he's been studying the Bible for years, and God's given him a revelation. There are a certain number of years of judgment for sin.
Wow.
Now, Jewish people in Israel have been under judgment for sin. And he has figured mathematically that the judgment is over.
Wow.
That means the spiritual scales are coming off of the eyes of Jewish people. And for the first time in 2,000 years, some biblical prophecies are coming to pass that have never, ever in anyone's, in 2,000 years, Israel has not been the largest Jewish nation in the world. But just this year, Israel has surpassed the United States of America. Jews from the four corners of the earth have been maintained as a distinct people, as the Bible said, and have maintained their Jewishness, as the Bible said, and now are returning to Israel. So I believe that as these Jewish people return to Israel, the devil's getting nervous. Why do you think there's so much turmoil in the Middle East?
Oh, yeah.
Because everyone thinks it's over the land. Well, it is, but that's not what it's over. It's over souls.
Yes.
Because as these Jews, it says in the Bible, and this happened the first time, that the word of the Lord would go out from Zion. But one more time, God, one more time, the word of the Lord is going to go out from Zion, and red hot Saul of Tarsus are going to become Paul the apostles, these rabbis. Can you picture a rabbi that knows the riches of the old covenant, which are shadows of the reality of the new covenant, that have been lost to the church because of this game called telephone? Can you picture when these Jewish rabbis start coming into the church? They're not going to start a Messianic Jewish synagogue. They're not going to start a Gentile pagan church. They're going to take the best of both, and they're going to merge, and they're going to become that one new man. He has a name. His name is Jesus. And devil, watch out, because we're rolling up our sleeves, and the Jew is going to grab hold. It says, Zechariah says, in the last days, 10 Gentiles will grab the hold of the hem, that's the tallit, the prayer shawl of him who's a Jew, and say, I've heard that God is with you. But you see, as good as it was when Jewish people were evangelists 2,000 years ago, God has something better than Jewish people being evangelists. He has the Jew and the Gentile merging together to produce a one new man that Paul says will cause life from the dead. You want to see dead people coming back to life? You want to see dead churches coming back to life? I'll tell you, I have a vision. I see Jewish people and Gentile people arm in arm, one man in Jesus, black and white, arm in arm, Hispanic, Asian, I see Native American, arm in arm, male and female, one new man in Jesus, celebrating the ancient biblical festivals that are so impregnated with power, not because, as the legalists say, you have to. No, you don't have to. All you have to do is repent of your sin and believe Jesus died for you. But because there are blessings wrapped into it, look, it says that the Gentile Christian is to provoke the Jew to jealousy. You're going to provoke me to jealousy with your Easter eggs? Or your Christmas trees? Should we tell them what we used to think about them before we believed in Jesus? Yeah, they have nice meanings, and you can do that. No, it's not upset with your Christmas trees and your Easter bunnies. But I'll tell you something. He wants you to move in such intimacy and power. And there's someone crying right now because what I am saying is so witnessing to your spirit. You know this. This is why we put a newsletter together. This is why we have tapes. We teach people about the genuine power of God. We teach people how to have intimacy with God. We teach people about Jewish people. We teach people about what's going on in Israel, in the Middle East. We teach people about the prophetic move. I can tell you, Warren, that God is showing me insights right now into the last move of His great spirit. And we call our family a Hebrew word, mishpacha.
Right.
It means family. And we want you to be part of the greatest mishpacha, oh, the most wonderful family. But I'll tell you something. My whole goal in life as a traditional Jewish man was to be a millionaire before I was 30. Well, I can tell you, I found out the hard way. Money does not buy the most important things in life. What amount of money would you give if your daughter was a drug addict? What would you do if your wife was just not caring about Jesus? You see, money can't buy the most important things in life. Only making Jesus Lord. I want you to come. Join hands with me. Join hands with us. Join hands. I'm going to tell you something. We are going to be part of the next move. Devil, watch out. Watch out. In Jesus' name, watch out.